It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
I mentioned Letitia James, the AG in New York, going after Donald Trump. Greg, glad you called. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you. So yesterday on the Neil Cavuto show in the opening half hour, Charlie Gasparino was on and was talking about this lawsuit. He mentioned there's some obscure act in the New York legislature, I think it's called the Martin, that allows her to bring civil lawsuits for virtually stealing a bagel. So this whole thing centers around the overinflation of his assets to secure loans to Deutsche Bank.
Right.
At the bottom of the appraisals that he submitted, and Charlie has seen these documents, at the bottom of the appraisals that the Trump Organization submitted in support of their loan was a bug that said specifically, these are our internal evaluation or valuations, and you must do your own due diligence in order to come up with your own value.
Exactly.
Every page had that bug on it.
Yeah.
Second, whatever it was, the loans have all been repaid. Where's the victim, as he says? Where's the loss? Who cares what it was valued at? The loans are all repaid. She's bringing this lawsuit?
That's what I'm saying in the first hour. You know, where are the victims? And you filled in the blank there because the loans have all been repaid. Nobody was defrauded of anything. Nothing. No way.
And apparently that bug at the bottom, which says these are our own internal valuations, is not considered a fraudulent act because you acknowledge that these are our valuations. You need to make your own. And apparently they both came to a meeting of the minds and agreed on a valuation, and then they lent money on that. I mean, this is nothing more than another thing of putting Trump on the front page and getting Biden off.
Exactly. I mean, you know, let the buyer beware. Here we go. You've explained it real well, Greg. Thank you. We've got some audio that kind of, you know, is self-explanatory. It's a quickie. Is that one ready, Michael? Go ahead and roll it.
As the next Attorney General, I see the law as a sword and as a shield to protect those who are vulnerable, because no one is above the law, including this illegitimate president. And so, I look forward to going into the office of Attorney General every day, suing him, defending your rights, and then going home.
Think this is a little personal? And Mike, one of the reasons she's been going at this very, very heavy is because she's behind in her current race. The challenger is going to take her to the cleaners. Mm-hmm. Her political career is in a little bit of a lurch. You know, she's a passionate Democrat. She's taken this step of, you know, filing a lawsuit against the former president and his three grown children, accusing them of undervaluing properties to gain better rates on loans, insurance, and policies and taxes. Greg just explained nobody was defrauded. Everything was paid back. Every page has that little footnote, little bug, whatever you want to call it, that says, you know, this is our evaluation. You better do your own. It's not a criminal case. It's a civil case. And it aims to bar Donald Trump, Donald Trump Jr., Ivanka Trump, Eric, from serving as executives at a company, at, you know, any company in New York, or to bar the Trump Organization from, I guess, buying any commercial real estate or obtaining loans from financial institutions in New York for 5 years. And again, like I told you in the first hour, she's been advised by her advisors, political and or otherwise, legal, and, you know, in her campaign, don't do this. This is the lawsuit is the result of a multiple-year investigation by James. It comes less than 50 days before the midterm elections. Now, this goes back, you know, it's got to go back 6 years. She's going back to even well before he was president. Trump's attorney said the lawsuit is not focused on facts and it's not focused on law. It's focused on advancing the attorney general's political agenda. It's abundantly clear that the AG's office has exceeded its statutory authority by prying into transactions where absolutely no wrongdoing has taken place, according to Alina Haba, who is the attorney. We are confident that the judicial system will not stand for unchecked abuse or authority, and we look forward to defending our client against each and every one of the attorney general's meritless claims. I think every one of these will be thrown out because there was no law that was broken, and there's no crime, and there's no victim, and oh. Donald Trump Jr. was a little bit more to the point with his tweeting. The bull Democrat witch hunt continues. His tweet, you know, accompanied a video of James vowing to sue Trump, which, you know, you just heard in part. She's really taken this so personally that she's kind of obsessed by it. She's also called him an existential threat. She's called him crazy. The president is an existential threat to all of us in this room. The number one issue in this country is defeating Donald Trump. Nothing else matters. Eric Trump tweeted a compilation of her remarks. Not a political witch hunt. What a joke. And then, yeah, all of these, which are available if you Google them. There's just a lot of remarks that she has made that are really personal in terms of her obsession with trying to get him. You know? She's weaponized her office for political gain. And, you know, that's, she's supposed, you know, she's the chief law enforcement officer of the state of New York. She's supposed to be there for the people, protecting the people. How is she protecting the people from Donald Trump on this one? You know, Elise Stefanik, who, she's great. She's great. She's just really watching Letitia James desperately, you know, flail around on this one. Anyway, another phone call very quickly here. Bill, you're on KMJ. Hi.
Well, it's simple. I mean, it's another deflection. This will never get to a courtroom. This will never get to much. Probably won't get past November the 2nd or whenever we have this next election. But, you know, where's the Republicans going back and starting with our buddy Maxine Waters and coming forward? They're at the very beginning, before Trump was sworn in, Obama, Hillary, and the leadership of the Democratic Party had already came out and said, hey, we've got to resist, 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 resist. And that's what they have done to this man from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And the man will never see a day of peace because we got a Republican Party that will not back him up. And they should be out there right now. What are they running on? I mean, why am I voting for a Republican? Nobody can tell me, and I haven't heard McCarthy come up with a friggin' thing that really gets my attention. He's saying the same old nonsense he's always said. They're not attacking. They're just playing along, getting in the boat and riding. So, hey, it's a mess.
A lot of people would agree with you about not attacking. Getting back to Lee Stefanik, she said in a statement that James has been on a deranged anti-Trump mission ever since before she became Attorney General. This is just another chapter of an illegitimate witch hunt that goes on against the president, President Trump. Corrupt Tish James is down 2 points in her latest independent poll from the Trafalgar Group against the Republican Michael Henry. Republicans are going to surge to victory across New York because of hardworking New Yorkers are tired of the corrupt Albany Democrats putting their own deranged anti-Trump obsession ahead of supporting law and order. There are a number of Democrats who have spoken out against this. Known in New York, not known to us, saying that they were supporters of Letitia James, but they say that she's gone too far over the edge. You know, the New York congressman happens to be the chairman, Nick Langworthy. He's the chairman of the party, excuse me, not a congressman. Blasted the lawsuit as a brazen political stunt. Tish James in the lawsuit against the Trump family 49 days before an election is one of the most brazen political publicity stunts I've seen in my entire life. Recent polling confirms that voters are leaving her and her fellow Democrats in droves, as we've consistently seen from, you know, New York Democrats. They have no problem breaking laws, trampling our Constitution, and trying to hold on to power. And yet, you know, many New York Democrats have no problem leaving the Democratic, you know, elected officials and saying, we're going to try somebody else. And many of them happen to be Jewish. People are always, you know, wondering why did so many, you know, Jews Why are they Democrats when they're very conservative in their own lives? New York is beginning to see some action there with a lot of Jews, you know, flipping over to the Republican Party, not changing their affiliation, but voting for Republicans. And it's because of individuals like Tish James that, you know, just it's so obviously personally political. It fills a room up with a stench that even her own former supporters get. And that's why she ain't doing so well in the race against the Republican. Let's take a break and we'll continue on KMJ.
The Ray Appleton Podcast right now.
Click the podcast page.
KMJnow.com.
It's free.
It's hot in here. I don't care what anybody says. Christina likes to have this little sauna going every day during the show with her and John, and it takes about an hour to cool off after she's in here, you know. It's a wild statement, isn't it? Got to cool off, you know. I'm not a fan of Mitch McConnell. Okay? Just 7% view him favorably, down from 31% in 2020. When the former President Donald Trump was leading the Republican Party. The civics poll averaged like 250,000 responses, tracked between November of 2017 and September of 2022. Big stretch there. And this model captures the shifts in attitudes of various groups over time in all 50 states and the nation's capital, where things can happen, you know, rapidly. And the poll shows that McConnell's favorability took a big hit the month that the former president left office, plunging 17% to 8%. This is embarrassingly bad for the Senate head of the Republicans, you know, as the Biden administration assumed office and began weaponizing federal agencies and prosecuting political foes. McConnell's favorability rating sank as he hovered, you know, in the high single digits. You know, he should have done something. He should have fought back. The last time McConnell's favorability sank, you know, to the high single digits was in 2018 during the pandemic. And then his favorability kind of rose and oscillated between 31 and 25%. But under McConnell's tenure as the Republican Senate leader, which began in 2007, the national debt has grown nearly $20 trillion. Illegal immigration has continued. Real wages for you, American workers, have not risen since the 1970s. Obamacare was enacted in 2010. Big banks were bailed out in 2008. Social media companies were silencing individuals without repercussions in October. McConnell caved to the Democrats' demands and raised the debt ceiling. Yes. Enabling Democrats to advance the Build Back Better agenda of President Biden, despite the nation's, I'm going to use the term mismanagement. McConnell reportedly told the Chamber of Commerce this week that he's optimistic Republicans will reclaim the Senate after losing it in 2020. McConnell previously claimed it was more likely that Republicans would retake the House than the Senate. But in recent weeks, polling is showing that there's races, I think, God, correct me if I'm wrong. Pennsylvania, memory here, Nevada, Wisconsin, they've tightened. They're within the margin of error. In Ohio, you've got, now I got to go to my notes, Florida, North Carolina, Georgia, Republican candidates are still holding leads. Yet in Arizona, the Trump-endorsed Blake Masters seems to be well behind the polls against Senator Mark Kelly, a Democrat. And the McConnell-backed super PAC this week canceled a $9.6 million bid of support for Masters, instead of sending the money to New Hampshire, you know, Georgia and Nevada. Outside groups are trying to make up the difference in Arizona with a $7.5 million flooding the state. They're trying to help all on their own without McConnell. He's worthless. I mean, as a Republican, I'm telling you, he's worthless. And I think most of you agree. I mean, well, God, with a 7% support, favorability, there we go. Yeah, he has to be pretty worthless, right? You know, and yet he's one of those guys that that kind of stuff just doesn't bother him. He's just there. He knows he's there. He's been there a long time. He'll probably continue to be there a long time. And, you know, so what? I've never understood why he's been able to maintain so much power. You know, I don't get it. I don't understand it. Anyway, getting back to being misunderstood, Tim Allen. We talked about Tim yesterday when Paul was here. Paul Rodriguez and Howie Mandel and Tim are doing a live comedy special on October the 2nd. It looks like it's going to be picked up by Netflix. And his latest joke, Tim's joke, seems to be a big flop on social media in terms of the woke population. Monday, Allen tweeted after President Biden appeared on 60 Minutes. Biden was on 60 Minutes, and I heard he asked how long the show was. Bummity boom. So it all quickly went viral. Many of the keyboard warriors on Twitter clutching their pearls and begging the Lord to take Allen out, you know. For example, I think the funniest thing Tim Allen has done in the last 20 years is assume that he still is in any way relevant. Blew that one. Tim Allen said he was famous. I heard everybody ask, what decade was that? Another wrote, mocking. You know, I mean, he's a conservative. We know that, and that's why people don't like him. And this, kids, is why Tim Allen isn't the voice of Buzz Lightyear anymore, one person said, referencing him being replaced by Chris Evans as the voice of Buzz in 2022. Also, a screenwriter used the recent Lightyear movie to kind of, you know, take his shot at Allen by tweeting, 145 minutes, that's how long the new Buzz Lightyear movie is. Perhaps you've seen it? Don't you hate it when your drug dealer gets political? Just drop the stuff off and leave, man. That's a Bleacher Report writer, Tyler Conway, responding, you know what that's about, right? Referencing his 2.5-year stint in a federal prison for pleading guilty on drug trafficking charges. Hey, he got caught, he did the time, so there. You know, others have come to his defense, with a former Republican House candidate in Virginia saying that, you know, he will always be her favorite comedian. That's nice. Imagine not being able to laugh at a joke, y'all. Comments have serious issues. Everything's gotten way too serious. One comment, really? Twitter is trying to cancel sitcom dad Tim Allen for telling a dad joke? I mean, you know, I mean, it's funny, but it's not anything offensive. Biden was on 60 Minutes. I heard he asked how long the show was, and people just went tubular. They went absolutely tubular over Tim Allen. Now, if he had a D after his name, you know, but he's got an R after his name. So there, you know, ooh, and he and Paul are coming together to do a live comedy show on October the 2nd. And what does that mean? Howie Mandel. Is Howie Mandel one of them? Has Howie got an R after his name now? Man, if you can't laugh, jeez. That's why we have the Jimmy J.J. Walkers of the world. Oh, he's also a little bit on the conservative side. Oh, really? Yeah, but he's still funny. And he's going to be at Crawdaddy's. Yeah, on the second floor, in the flesh. October the 25th or 6th. I can't remember. I need a calendar. It's going to be a good one. Almost sold out. Almost sold out. You better jump on that. Up close and personal with this guy. In a venue like that, it's going to be wonderful. That's because we need to laugh.
The Ray Appleton Podcast. Right now.
Click the podcast page.
KMJNow.com.
It's free.
Now, Ray Appleton.
You want to talk about goats? What an odd thing to say. Hey, let's talk about goats. I think goats are very important. Very important. Because there are many, you know, places that rely on goats and sheep. And what do? They get rid of the fire risk because they eat a lot of veg. So homeowners, businesses, government agencies, you know. It's Cole Bakke, who's the owner of IOU Sheep, based in Tulare County. I love this. Says machines can't get to those hillsides. So cut them loose. You know, it's not unusual to see a lot of sheep, a lot of goats, you know, clearing out dry grass in areas that are prone to fires. And we're hearing that the demand for these little four-footed firefighters, yay, has skyrocketed. That's great. You know, I mean, put them to work. I think it's just fabulous. But, you know, this guy that I'm talking about is planning on reducing his herd. Why is that? And he says he's, you know, feeling a little bit of uncertainty. It's becoming so difficult to do business in California, says one individual who's of the Star Creek Land Stewards, the president of the California Wool Growers Association. State overtime laws for agricultural workers changed on January 1, lumping sheep and goat herders in with farm workers. So, sheep and goat herders in the state of California have had a special exemption from overtime based upon the unique nomadic nature of their work. We are moving to where the vegetation is, and that's how we prevent wildfire. Now, they had paid workers, you know, 48 hours a week, which is a federal standard set during the Obama administration, but California now produces, well, they require these producers to pay them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. What? 40 hours of regular pay, meaning the remaining 128 hours of overtime and double time rates. So, Mr. Bakke says, with the flip of a calendar, our wages went up over 50% overnight. There's a lot less training involved as well, bringing somebody in who knows their way around these animals and how to take care of them. So, you know, producers, they pay for their flights, their work visas, the housing, and sometimes even, you know, consist of trailers inspected by the the Employment Development Department, groceries, cell phones, uniforms. They don't have to be on call 24-7, says Bakke. We also use Great Pyrenees guard dogs to protect the sheep. Yes! So they don't have to be sitting there with a rifle waiting for a coyote at night. Yeah. So sheep and goat herders were not originally included in the original language of the Overtime Ag Bill when it was proposed in 2016. And, you know, there was no public hearing. There was nothing. And the Department of Industrial Relations admitted in a letter to the California Wool Growers Association that we recognize there's no clear legislative history discussing sheep herders in the new overtime rules, and the language of the statute itself now encompasses overtime for sheep herders. This is all very legit, though. I mean, you know, the sheep producers are trying to get the attention of the governor for some kind of relief with letters signed by other lawmakers and farm bureaus last summer. And a survey from the Fresno County Farm Bureau found like a third of the industry, you know, may go out of business entirely. So, you know, God bless the sheep, the goats, and the Great Pyrenees. They've got a job that they do, and they do it well. But any time that, you know, California can mess with any kind of a business, they're going to mess with any kind of a business, even if it has to do with sheep, goats, and Great Pyrenees. So, you know, these grazing contracts are really important to controlling the fire season. And it's going to be sad if they have to move off to another state where the labor is a little cheaper. We'll see what happens. But a lot of you know that. I mean, you know that goats and sheep are used to mitigate fire situations. It's good stuff. And it's been going on for a long time. And, you know, Mr. Bakke is right. I mean, there are hillsides that are inaccessible to machines. So what do you got to do? You got to cut the animals loose. All right. Let's see. What was I? This other where? This story about the Fresno County DA targeting members of Democrats. They've organized a rally. It was yesterday, following Tuesday's court appearance by the city councilman Nelson Esparza, who's charged with attempting to, you know, extort the Fresno City County attorney, the Fresno City attorney Doug Sloan. You know the story. Sloan has since moved on. He was charged after the DA's public integrity unit began investigating comments that he made to Sloan during a private conversation. But now the Democratic Party is claiming Smitkamp only goes after those on the left and turns a blind eye to conservatives. Quote, in the past few years, she's been targeting very prominent elected officials, black and brown elected officials. So says Dylan Savory of the Central Labor Council. It's a pretty ballsy statement. Council president is the latest victim of the district attorney that is using her office as a weapon against Democratic leaders while choosing to ignore crimes committed by Republicans. Who said that? City Councilman Miguel Arias. Yeah. So the County Democratic Party and the Coalition of Labor Unions want the state attorney general's office. There's a straight player, Rob Bonta. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you want him watching over the laws of California? Yes, sir. They want him to investigate Smitkamp's office, which she says she welcomes. I'm sure she got nothing to hide. I mean, what if Nelson Esparza is guilty of these charges? Duh. I'm not saying that he is, but what if? Smitkamp also says her office's public integrity unit has seen an increase in confidential complaints, which she suspects are being used for personal attacks. So now, you know, the DA is politicized because Democrats says she goes only after Democrats. Well, maybe it's only people who happen to be Democrats who are breaking laws and need to be investigated. And it could be, you know, and maybe not. Yeah, phone calls. We see you. 490-5858, 800-776-5858. This is one I think you ought to comment on. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. I don't know. I don't know because I don't know if there's this long stream of Democrats that have only been investigated by the Public Integrity Unit and no Republicans. You know, I don't know. And I don't know what a political party has to do with it. If somebody is charged with breaking the law, okay, fine. Then who cares about what the R or the D is after their name? I mean, that's the way that division should be run over there, the Public Integrity Unit. And I think it probably is, if you want my opinion. I mean, to what advantage would Lisa have deliberately going after one political party and ignoring the other for any, you know, misdeeds they may have done? I think that would be like real obvious. And I haven't seen anything that's obvious about it. Of course, then again, I don't know everything. All right. Oh, great. Yeah, okay. Comment about the goat grazing. I love that. Let's do that real quick before we go to the break. Mike, go right ahead. Hi.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hey, Ray. So my name's Mike Cannaday, and my wife and I own one of the largest goat grazing operations in California. We do a lot of the municipal stuff and a lot in the Bay Area, some Southern California, mostly up and down the coast. We run around 11,000 animals and around 20 employees. So there's a kind of a misconception about what's going on. And what the labor commissioner wanted us to do was basically pay our workers. If you're working with sheep, you would get approximately like $3,700 or $37,000 a year, plus room and board and phone and stuff like that. But they wanted be in and then in the goat herders, they wanted to, they had to be paid like $168,000 a year, and they're basically doing the same job.
Why the difference? I don't get it.
Why the difference? Okay. The difference is because this statute originally applied to H-2A workers, guest workers, most of them from Peru, Chile, Mexico, whatever. And that that original statute goes back, I'm thinking, into the 1950s or something like that.
All right.
And in the original statute gave the sheep herders, mostly sheep herders that came over from the Basque country of Spain, and they got an exemption to certain overtime rules.
All right, Mike, I tell you what, hold on a minute. I'm going to go to a commercial break. I don't want you to go anywhere, but I got to hit this break, and then I'm going to come back to you, and I want you to finish what you're talking about, okay? It's important. So just don't move, Mike, and right, we'll continue this. The story of the sheep and the goats and why the difference and with the, yeah, it's, I don't get it either. But we're going to find out more from Mike right after this.
The Ray Appleton Podcast.
It's free.
KMJNow.com.
All right. Let's get back to Mike, who's in the business of grazing these little four-footed saviors, you know, to mitigate fire situations. Go ahead with where you left off, sir.
Okay, so the long and short of it is most of us use H-2A workers because these guys come over for 3 years on a three-year visa, on a sheep herding visa, and these visas were created, again, the original statute came in, it's a federal deal with other countries, could be Chile and Mexico and Peru, our guys come out of Peru. And they live with these animals 24 hours a day. American workers don't want to do that. But, you know, they've got a life, basically. American workers want to go see a ball game, want to have a family, all that stuff. But these guys, they make approximately their monthly income in, let's say, Peru is like $400 a month. And when they come over here, I think the new wages that they're trying to get through that we're supposed to be paying now is like 30, maybe it's $3,700 a month or something like that. And that's a big difference. And if it's, but what's going on is the sheep herders and the goat herders do the same thing. Hmm. And the sheep herders have an exemption for those overtime laws that have kicked in over the years. And they've been bringing the goat herders in under the same deal for at least 20 years, maybe more. And all of a sudden, somebody in the labor department decided that they were different. These people, if you...
Well, different based on what?
Well, they're bureaucrats. They couldn't tell the difference between a sheep and a goat if you ran a bunch of them by. They couldn't tell you which group was which. They'd have a 50-50 chance of telling you.
Probably right about that. Yeah. Go on.
Oh, I know I am. So yeah, so the bottom line is that there's this huge disparity in what they're going to make. So you've got the two workers are doing the same thing. They're moving the same fence. They're watering basically the same animal, same job, and one's getting like I think it's it might be like $40,000 a year or something like that, and that plus the benefits and the housing and all that. Mm-hmm. And the other one is $168,000 a year, and they're doing the same job because some bureaucrat all of a sudden noticed that the exemption in the statute only referred to sheep herders. And what really should have happened is they tried to fix it this year in the legislature, and I'm not exactly sure of the result of fixing that.
Okay, got to wrap this up. Got to get you to the end of this. Go ahead.
Okay, so I mean, really, all they had to do was take out the word sheep and you refer to herders, and make have them have the same exemption, and we wouldn't have the trouble. But $168,000 a year, that's not sustainable. There aren't going to be any go companies other than family run, where you've got the kids doing it and the parents, and or you know, they all own the company or whatever. Those are going to be the only people left doing the fire grazing along the roads, because it's not sustainable to pay a farm worker $168,000 a year plus room and board.
Yeah,
and that's
tell
the
me about
issue,
it.
Is trying to fix this thing. And everybody that you tell the story to say, wait a minute, I want this job. I want to make $168,000 a year plus a place to live and stay in some of the nicest places in California, where you're working in parks and on government property and getting to tour around, be in big cities like San Francisco or down in L.A. or whatever, and you keep on moving. You're like a tourist. You go all over the place. You just got a bunch of goats with you.
All right, Mike, I got a roll, but that's helpful. The difference between goats and sheep, as defined by bureaucrats, and why one is worth $168,000 a year. I don't get. I see your wheels turning. You want to get some four-footed ones, right? Yeah. Michael's thinking about it. Anyway, only in California we get a story like that, you know? Vanush is standing by. He wants to talk about the DA, but we're going to have to take a break, probably. And Vanush, if you want to hang in there, this DA story, I think, is worth a comment from somebody, so I'd appreciate it. You know, again, Democrats going after Lisa Smitkamp, wanting the AG to jump in, Rob Bonta, because they feel that she's, you know, using the Public Integrity Unit against Democrats only. Okay, we'll prove it. We'll be right back with his comment and yours on News Talk 580, 105.9 KMJ, the Ray Appleton Radio Extravaganza.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.